Thank you. Good morning.
Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church of the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And I am so glad to be back from vacation. Had a lovely, lovely time with my family and my fiance, and it was really just what I needed the week away. And thank you to all who gave Jeffrey such a warm welcome. He told me he really enjoyed being with you last week, and I hope that sometime he'll come back again. And if any of you are Star Wars nerds, may the Fourth be with you. Any of you who remember my buddy Tim Powers Reed, who has been here a couple times, he is a huge Star Wars nerd, and he actually has incorporated some themes of Star Wars into his liturgy for today. I have not, so if you were hoping for that, sorry. But I thought that was pretty funny when he called me and told me that called me this week and told me that. Becky has a few announcements for us this morning.
Good morning. There we go. The Vacation Bible School Planning Committee started talking about a local mission project, and we decided to partner with the Waupun Food Pantry, and then our wonderful missions committee here at church is partnering with us as well. On top of that, we have Emmanuel Lutheran and United Methodist Churches combining and also doing the same mission project. It'll take place on Friday, June 20th, during Vacation Bible School. We're going to assemble approximately 120 bags because our Waupun Food Pantry services 120 families a month. So we have lists available of household goods and food on the west counter, along with some boxes and a bigger thing of these. There's a list of these too. One of the things we want to make sure we put in all the boxes is we've been told don't buy canned goods unless it has a pull tab, because some people don't have a can opener. So we thought, why not put a can opener in everybody's box or bag, and then they can have a can opener and they won't have that issue. There are some really cheap ones out there, but I found some middle-of-the-road ones. The really cheap ones are like $1.99, $2, and I was told they don't last. This was $4.99 at Marshall's, and this one was $5-something at Walmart. Both of them look pretty heavy-duty. In fact, this looks just like my KitchenAid one at home without the word KitchenAid here. So. Anyway, if you could see it in your heart to help us out, there are lists on the back counter, and then bags will be assembled by the Vacation Bible School kids, and we'd love your help on that. The other thing I wanted to point out is, I think the last communion class we had was probably run by Heather and Pastor Robert, maybe, pre-COVID. Probably was the last time we had one. In our Christian Education Committee thought, you know, it would probably be good to offer one. And basically, it's going to be it's going to start at 6:15 on a Wednesday evening.
This Wednesday.
Yeah, May 7th. It's this week. And it's designed to only last 30 or 40 minutes, but it's basically to introduce communion to all generations, anyone new to our church, anyone who just wants to discuss how important communion is that we're going to have today. It's to introduce it to our upper elementary. So it's kind of going to be geared towards multi-generational multi-generational lesson. And only lasts 30 to 40 minutes. So if you're interested, please Join Pastor Jacob and I are going to run that on Wednesday evening at 6:15. We'll be done in time for youth group. All right, thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Becky. Yeah, when it was brought up to do the communion class, I thought it was a good idea because a lot of folks who have more recently joined our church come to us from different denominations and traditions, which of course have lots of different kind of beliefs around communion. So if you're interested in kind of learning more about the United Church of Christ's understanding of communion and why it's important and what it means and how it operates, you're welcome to join us as well. Are there any other announcements this morning? Oh, yes. For anyone who didn't hear that, Deanne Goodlaxon has leftover Easter lilies in the back of her car if anybody would like to plant them in the garden for next year. Okay, anything else? Okay, let's share the peace of Christ with one another.
Please rise for the call to worship. We come to worship today, mindful of the ways we have felt powerless. We are mindful of times we have lost control. So let us come, held in the grace and love of our God, knowing God does not provide punishment, but instead help and strength.
Let us find our own refreshment in being released from what holds us back.
And let's join together in the unison prayer. Life-giving God, the risen Christ, came to the stricken disciples and fed them, taught them, and called them. You are present among us now. Speak your word to us. Feed us with your grace and call us again into the ministry of loving service. In the name of Christ and the power of your Spirit. Amen. And our opening song is number 84, O God, our help in ages past.
Oh God, our help in ages past.
You may be seated. Now comes the time for, let's see, I don't think we have any. All right.
Paul is considered to be the second most important person after Jesus in the history of Christianity. Something else I learned this week. Paul was chosen by God to tell others about Jesus, and he did this through a ton of letters. So I'm going to just ask for a show of hands. How many of you still like to write letters? You still write letters at all? There's a couple and a couple in-betweeners. How many of you had a pen pal growing up? Either in elementary, high school, college? Oh, I wasn't the only one. Good. There were about 6, 7 of your hands going up there. In high school and college, I had 3 pen pals. They were my two grandmas. And my cousin that lived in Illinois. So one lived in Arlington Heights, one in Green Bay, and one in Wausaukee, Wisconsin. And I lived in Sheboygan Falls, so we didn't see them all the time. It's not like mom and dad or grandpa and grandma lived right in town. And I kept up most of that letter writing throughout high school and well into college, especially with my grandparents. My cousin and I were both busy at college, and we kind of got fewer and farther between. We still did our birthdays because they were only 4 days apart. I was older, she was taller. Imagine that. But I think about the letters and how important they were to me. I can remember my Grandma Bursell. She'd write me a letter and she'd always put a stamp in it. A stamp in an envelope so that I could make sure I wrote back to her. Sometimes I'd get $2. That covered the stamp and 3 more probably back then.
Yeah. Were $2 bills a thing back then?
I'm not sure when they came out.
Okay.
I'm pretty old. I have some $2 bills. But I was going to talk to the kids about how important letter writing is. And how it still means so much. To get something in the mail, that's actually meaningful, that someone hand wrote. And I think of all the letters that Paul wrote. I can remember with my Catholic background, every time we said the reading and did the liturgy, it was like from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, or from the letter of Paul to so-and-so. And it was, you know,
yeah.
It was always things I couldn't pronounce, but but he wrote a lot of letters.
Did.
And how important they were. And the one thing that Paul told all the people in his letters is that the best leaders here on earth are not meant to take the place of God, but to point people towards the Lord and point God. And how we can do that through our writings.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to lead us in prayer?
Absolutely. So you all know the drill. I will say a short phrase and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God, thank you for letters and what they can teach us. Help us share your love by writing letters, by saying kind words, by doing kind things wherever we go. Amen. Thanks, Becky.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. God did not let your foot be moved. God who keeps you will not slumber. God who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. The Lord will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. Our second reading is from Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 9 through 15. And you saw the distress of our ancestors in Egypt and heard their cry at the Red Sea. You performed signs and wonders against Pharaoh and all his servants and all the people of his land, for you knew that they acted insolently against our ancestors. You made a name for yourself that remains to this day, and you divided the sea before them so that they passed through the sea on dry land. But you threw their pursuers into the depths like a stone into mighty waters. Moreover, you led them by day with a pillar of cloud and by night with a pillar of fire, to give them light on the way in which they should go. You came down also upon Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven and gave them the right ordinances and the true laws, good statutes and commandments. And you made known your holy Sabbath to them and gave them commandments and statutes and a law through Moses, your servant. For their hunger you gave them bread from heaven, and for their thirst you brought water for them out of the rock. And you told them to go in to possess the land that you swore to give to them. Here ends the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bob. Friends, let us be in prayer. God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So, this week, I asked Winnie Smith to come into my office and give me some help with my sermon. Now, as unassuming as Winnie is, I can only imagine that she might have been a little confused about why I asked her for help with my sermon. But one of the things I love about Winnie is that she's very wise and has some particular knowledge about a topic that Marcia McPhee, the writer of our sermon series, suggests that we talk about in relation to the scripture passages for this week. So as we spend our sermon series talking about resurrection stories that real people experience and how we can experience the resurrection in our own lives, one of the ways that McPhee connects this is by talking about addiction. In her supporting documents to prepare to help preachers prepare for this sermon series, she offers the story of a man named Ron Williams, who, after years of addiction and multiple failed rehabilitation attempts, found lasting recovery at the Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge program. He became a recovery coach using his personal experiences to help others and has been sober for over 18 years. So initially, I was going to talk more about Ron's story, and it's a good one, But then I remembered the really important work that Al-Anon does here in our church and in our community. And it struck me that most people probably know that Al-Anon exists in this church, but because of the strict confidentiality of the program, we don't often get to understand the impact that this program actually has in the community. And I asked Winnie if she could speak in generalities about the ministry of Al-Anon, and share, and if I could share pieces of our conversation with the rest of you, and she said yes. So I'm going to share some of the big ideas that I learned and how these ideas can help us grow and thrive in our faith. So I don't have to tell you that there is a significant stigma around drug and alcohol addiction, both for the addict and for their families. One of the things that Winnie wanted to make sure that you understood is that Al-Anon is a ministry specifically for the families and the loved ones of those who are addicted, not necessarily for folks who are addicts themselves. That kind of work is usually done through Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous and those kinds of organizations. One of the first things that Winnie said was, "Remember, Pastor Jacob, alcoholism is a disease, not a character flaw." And she went on to talk about how some people misuse Christian doctrine to shame addicts and their families, and that her work with Al-Anon was a place where she and the rest of the group endeavor to support one another and share the kind of faith that wasn't based on God punishing people for their wrongdoing, but just the fact that they are held by God's grace in this difficult experience. One of the most beautiful things she talked about was the depth of spirituality that she experienced hearing the stories and offering supportive resources and learning from each other. And God was with her in those meetings in a very tangible way that even as a lifelong churchgoer, was something that she hadn't experienced before. So thank you, Winnie, for letting me tell your story and for sharing it with me. When I think about our scripture passages for today, I see themes of this kind of faith weaving throughout. Many of us love this psalm because of the ways that it brings comfort to those in difficult times. And this is a psalm that is used often at funerals to talk about somebody who had a strong faith throughout their life, for example. But in the context of addiction and other life struggles, this might be a recognition that sometimes we face things throughout our lives that we can't control. The commentator James Mays reminds his readers the theme of relying on the Lord in a hostile world is a recurring theme in the Songs of Ascents, which is a section of the Psalms that goes from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. They're all called the Songs of Ascents, if you look at the Bible. Indeed, the realities of addiction and other things that hold us back are often results of living in a difficult world and unhealthy coping mechanisms that we rely on when we can't seem to find our way through the larger issues that we experience, loneliness and depression and anxiety and family trauma and all sorts of things like that. But God continues to show us the way through these difficult situations, and we can have faith that God will continue to keep us on the path that leads us to well-being, even in spite of ourselves, and help us release ourselves from what holds us back. And the prophet Nehemiah capitalizes on this as well, remembering how God has taken care of his ancestors in the past. And you saw the distress of our ancestors in Egypt and heard their cry in the Red Sea. You performed signs and wonders against Pharaoh and all his servants and all the people of his land, for you knew that they acted insolently against our ancestors. You made a name for yourself that is famous to this day. And O God, Our Help in Ages Past is one of my favorite hymns that talks about this as well. And it's also a very difficult hymn to play on guitar, because as if anybody has ever tried to play that hymn on guitar, every note has a chord change. And it's not a it's more of something that you play on the organ or the piano or something. And one of my friends told me one time how terribly difficult that hymn is to play on guitar, and I was playing with him one time, and he said, "You can play that hymn by yourself, Jacob." So oftentimes, when we talk about addiction in the church or even in public spaces, sometimes the way we talk about addiction can seem condescending or unhelpful in some other way, and especially if we ourselves have not been touched by it. But I think it's important to talk about things like this in the church, because these are real issues that people who are loved by God experience every day, whether directly or indirectly. And one of the gifts of the resurrection, I think, is to recognize that because Jesus lived and died and rose again for us, there are greater possibilities for our life than we could ever imagine. God's love and grace allows us to release ourselves from the difficulties that hold us back. And God cares for us and helps us in the ways that we should go. And through God, we can be set free from all of that. So, as you think about your own resurrection story in this season of Easter, I wonder what you yourself might need to be set free from. And how might you find sources of support to help you through difficult days? How might you release yourself from stigma? And instead of believing in a God that's waiting to punish you, find refuge in a God who will carry you every step of the way. And then, once you've found that, how might you be a source of support for someone else? There are so many ways that this church already does this kind of work. Our Al-Anon chapter is just one example that felt apropos to talk about in today's message, but there are so many ways that we already do that. And I think that because so many of us have felt stigmatized ourselves for decisions we've made or ways we've lived our lives, I don't think that we as a congregation writ large believe in a God that wants to punish us. And because we believe rather that God wants to take care of us and help us on the ways that we should go, because we believe this, I think that we can be sources of hope for one another and for our wider community. Whether that's a support group, a prayer circle, or even just a comforting embrace in a time of need. So for all of the ways that God continues to work through all of you, and for all the ways that God continues to show the resurrection through us and even in spite of us, I say thanks be to God. Amen. Now we come into a time of more intentional prayer, thinking of the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today. Let's take a few moments of silence to remember those folks. Amen. I didn't receive any prayer requests specifically, but I'm wondering if anybody else has anything they'd like to pray for today. Okay. Anything on Zoom? Then let us be in a time of prayer. God of grace and love, we give thanks for the ways that you set us free from pain, from loneliness, from all of the things that hold us back from the life that you desire for us. We give you thanks for support groups. We give you thanks for supportive ministries in all of their forms. We give you thanks for the ways that rehabilitation can happen and that resurrection can happen. And yet we know that there is still much pain in the world, suffering and discrimination and stigma. We ask you to help us be bearers of another way, a way filled with hope, a way filled with courage, where homelessness and poverty, food insecurity, discrimination in all of its forms, war, conflict, and abuse might truly be gone forever, so that truly people can live into a way of comprehensive well-being for all. And this sounds like a big task, oh God, and it sounds like maybe something that is a little idealistic. And yet, through the resurrection of your Son, you have shown us that we can believe the unbelievable, that the impossible can be possible. And so we ask all of these things in the name of your resurrected Son, in whom we pray, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. You may either place your offering in the plate as the ushers come around, or you may give online at uccwaupun.net and scroll to the bottom where it says donate. And also, if you're at home joining us, this is a great time to assemble your communion elements so that you can share in that sacrament with us after we say the prayer of dedication. Prayer of dedication. Holy One, your Son's resurrection offers us hope in difficult situations. With these gifts, help us do the same. May we work together with you for justice and hope. Amen. You may be seated. So, just a couple notes on communion for today. Part of the liturgy involves singing together. We'll say a little bit, and we'll sing, and we'll say a little bit, and we'll sing. But it is a hymn that many of us know well. This is the Day of New Beginnings, and Sue will play a little bit of an introduction for us just so that we can get it in our heads, but then you'll be able to pick it up right away. And then also, of course, this is an open table. This table does not belong to me, does not belong to this church, but instead it belongs to Christ, who welcomes all, despite ourselves, no matter what we've done, no matter who we are, no matter what has happened in our life up until now. And Christ is the host and invites all of us to participate. And then, of course, gluten-free bread is in the middle here, and everything in all of our communion cups contain grape juice. So let us join together in sharing this sacrament. Christ invites to this table all who are ready for a resurrection in their own lives, to move beyond the limitations of the past, to move into the new day that God is doing in our midst, willing to let go of the pain that's gone. Let's begin by singing the first verse. And so, this is an open invitation to come and receive the bread that will sustain us as we embark on a journey towards our own resurrection story. All are invited to receive the sweetness of the cup as a sign of God's promise of abundant possibilities. All are invited to this meal, for all are forgiven their past regrets and invited into God's grace-filled future. Praise to the living God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts in this new day. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, creator and renewer of all life. Time and again you seek us out, breathing again the breath of life into the deflated places in our lives. And so we come to your table again to praise you, and taste yet again what your steadfast love can do. Let's sing.
In faith we'll gather up.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, to set at liberty those oppressed, and to announce the time had come when he would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. All this spoke of resurrection of lives, even before his own. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your Word and the Holy Spirit. Night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave you thanks, and blessed it and broke it, and he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Every time you eat this, do so in remembrance of me." And then after they were finished eating, he took a cup, poured it out. There's some flour or something on here. gave you thanks and blessed it and poured it out and said, "This is my blood, given for you and for all, as a symbol of the new covenant and forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, as we remember these words and acts of Jesus, we offer our own lives, leaving behind what we do not need, seeking new paths full of resurrected life in you. As followers of Christ, we proclaim and live out this holy mystery. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us a resurrection story in Christ, so that we may be a resurrection story for the world as the body of Christ, breaking ourselves open to God's redeemed future. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, with each other, and with the ministry of all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Gifts of God are given for the people of God. Come, for all things are now ready. Please join me in the prayer after communion. Gracious God, we thank you for this mystery in which you have given yourself to us. You have fed us with grace that can't be predicted, with abundance that is hidden until it is received. Send us into this world now to follow Christ, to feed your sheep, to embody your love, in the name and spirit of Christ. Amen. Our closing hymn is more like a closing chorus. We'll be singing Halle, Halle, Hallelujah. And we'll be doing the chorus only, and we'll do it twice. Before I give the benediction, let us share in our mission and vision statements. We go now to love God's creation, share in fellowship, and live Christ's example while seeking God's blessing on our lives and on our communities, living our core values. We, the family of Union Congregational Church, seek to deepen our own spirituality with acceptance of all, and a commitment to Christ. So receive these words of benediction, my friends. Whatever binds you, whatever locks you up and makes you feel powerless, whatever gets in the way of living life with vitality, integrity, and joy, can be wiped clean. For we believe our stories can be rewritten each and every day. And we know this isn't easy or quick, but let this be a vision of your life resurrected. And now may you go into the world, finding release in all the ways you discover you can, for yourself, for others, and for the world. And may the God who created you as an unbound soul, the Christ who showed you what letting go looks like, and the Spirit who is transforming your life even now, be with you now and evermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.